RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back to 97.1. Gator with you today. Doug will be back on Monday's show, although we're going to talk to Doug tomorrow at some point. From Orlando, get a preview of the Michigan-Texas game. And we got college football playoff game tomorrow night, Ohio State in Miami. That should be outstanding. And then we got the games on New Year's Day. College football playoff, I can't wait for it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And the NFL this weekend is going to be a lot of fun. So many games mean so much on this last week of the season. It's great. It's unfortunate that for our Lions, it means nothing in terms of, you know, advancing because the playoffs are done. But the game still means something to the players. We'll hear from Jared Goff coming up at 1:30, and you'll hear what he has to say about why he's playing in this game and what it means to him and what it means to his teammates as well. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number, same number to text as well. We had talked about Dan Campbell's comments about the defensive coordinator, Calvin Shepard, and he likes Calvin Shepard. I'm not sure if that was an endorsement that he's coming back or not, but it sounds like he'd be leaning that way. And I'm curious to see how the Lions defense attacks the Bears offense on Sunday. The Bears are playing at a much higher level now than they were in week two when the Lions put 52 points on them, which was great. This game is going to be played out in the elements. We'll see. Watching Caleb Williams develop this season has been interesting to say the least. He's a very gifted quarterback. He's got an incredibly strong arm, makes plays with his feet to buy himself more time, and he's got a good offensive line to work with in the first place. Not only that, they got a running game going. They got a bunch of receivers he can throw to that are awfully good, a tight end that's good, a couple tight ends that are good. And their defense has been opportunistic, but the defense is vulnerable too. Like I said, they get 52 to the Lions in week two when everybody wrote the Lions off after the horrible start against the Packers. Well, it's interesting how the season goes because I wonder, should they have known in week one that the offensive line was going to be a problem all season long? Well, it clearly wasn't the big problem until later in the season. I mean, they did get off to a 4-1 start. But the other comment that we played from Dan Campbell was about Jared Goff, and it was just absolute rock-solid confirmation Goff is his guy, and he's not going to waver from that. And I'm fine with that because I think Goff is outstanding. People keep – and there's even ticket texts are coming in about this with comparisons. Jared Goff is the next Kirk Cousins. Very cute during the regular season, but always comes up short in the playoffs or Super Bowl. Get away from him while you can. To which point you have to look at their records when it comes to the postseason. Kirk Cousins has played in 5 postseason games in his career. He has 1 win. Jared Goff has played in 10 postseason games in his career, and he's won 5. Okay? He's had a shorter career and won more playoff games than Kirk Cousins has, and he's played in more games than Kirk Cousins has. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to 2 NFC Championship games. They're different quarterbacks. And Kirk Cousins is just fine. I wonder if the Vikings ever rue the day that they got rid of Kirk Cousins or let him walk. Last year they had a pretty good regular season, but Sam Darnold couldn't get them past that. And then this year, they went with a rookie along with a veteran when the rookie got healthy enough to play, and it did not work out well at all. J.J. McCarthy may not be the answer for the Minnesota Vikings. They're still going to try it, but we'll see. Let's get to the phones. Mike is in Commerce. Welcome to 97.1. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Peter. Hey, great show. Really enjoyed listening to the 50-yard efforts to throw a football. You know, for some of us that can't quite make it that far, be interested in knowing how many people can throw it 20 yards and lead a receiver. That's a challenge.
That's different. That's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely. But, you know, to that point, you know, I'll tell you what, in the years that I've been watching the Detroit Lions, I think Jared Goff is probably one of the best Detroit Lion quarterbacks that can hit a receiver going across the middle in stride. And he does it consistently. You know, and I think that's really added to the success of this team because we got some stud receivers. You know, again, to feed into Campbell's position on Goff, you know, I always felt like Goff makes great decisions. When the plays break down, it's not there, throws it in the ground, lives to play another down. You know, he's one of the quarterbacks when I watch the game, watching him go through his progressions. You know, the first receiver's not open. He checks the second and third. You know, there's not a lot of quarterbacks that are really good at doing that. Just, you know, he just seems to do that really well, and why people just dog him.
Because people are impatient, and thanks for the call, Mike, and they see what he's not, and they project that as, well, they must get what he's not. If he can't run the ball, you have to have a mobile quarterback. You got to have it, a guy who can run, because they see the flaws instead of seeing the strengths, which is what you were pointing out. His ability to process the game is great. You know, this town ran Matthew Stafford out of town, and maybe rightfully so at the end. I think it was probably an amicable split when all was said and done. Stafford took this team as far as he could and really helped facilitate the next era of the Lions, which was an era of Lions where we saw playoff wins because of what they were able to get for him in the trade, which included Jared Goff along with a couple first-round picks and a third-round pick. And they've turned that into winning football, changing the culture of this organization. It's amazing how 1 year tears it down, at least in terms of the fans. I don't think it's torn it down in that building in Allen Park where they practice or in Ford Field where they play the games. The team still has resolve. The culture is still there. They've just gone through a rough time this season. I don't think this is something that's going to be plaguing this team for years to come. And if it is, then I'm wrong, then I'm wrong, and they're going to have to move on. But I think that they've got a rock-solid foundation with a really good amount of players that are solid players. But there are some questions for sure. Not all bright skies here. I mean, they've got problems. They got problems on the defensive side of the ball, in the secondary in particular. Do they have, here's a question mark, do they have problems in the middle of that defense, in the middle of the defensive line? Is that going to be a problem? You know, McNeil came back and was not the player he was prior to the injury. Maybe it's just as simple as, okay, give him an offseason to heal up and be ready to go for a full training camp and everything else instead of coming into the season halfway through like he did this year. And maybe he'll be back to where he needs to be. But we'd love to see him back where he needs to be because they're paying him a lot of money. But DJ Reader took a step back, and Tyreek Williams is maybe slower to develop than people want because, oh, a first-round pick, he's got to hit the ground running. And I think the reality is not many defensive tackles are going to hit the ground running drafted where he was drafted. Now, it's a different story if you're taking somebody inside the top 10 and you expect those guys to go. Your Jalen Carters, your Ndamukong Suhs, right? So I think there are reasons to be concerned for the future of this team. I just don't think the quarterback is one of them. Hassan is next up here, 97.1. Hey, Hassan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Good. So, yeah, Goff is definitely not the problem. The problem is obviously our injuries. And I don't know if you remember Dan Campbell and, you know, going down a rabbit hole, I was looking up. We're among the most in the NFL, excuse me, for, you know, live padded practice, live contact. And if you guys remember a clip saying, trust me, guys, I don't know if I trust them anymore. You know, it's not working.
Well, I don't know if they, I think there's a limit to, and thanks for the call. there's a limit to the number of practices you can be padded up for. So it's when do you decide to pad them up? And I guess in the preseason, in training camp, I don't know if that's the problem or not. There were plenty of players that went down in training camp, and that's alarming. A lot of offensive linemen went down. But I don't know if it's any single practice that the Lions do differently than other teams. It's how you come through the injuries. The Lions have had inordinate amount over the last couple of years of games lost because of injury. I think this year they ranked third in the NFL. Last year they were near the top of the list. They may have been number one last year. But the team that was number one this year, I believe, was San Francisco. And they've been able to keep it together. They lost their starting quarterback for a while in Brock Purdy. And Brock Purdy's come back, and he's been great. They lost Bosa. They lost their linebacker. They lost a wide receiver. And now, most recently, they've lost George Kittle. And yet they still just win games. It's next man up mentality, which is what the Lions have too. The problem with the Lions is that they went next man up to the next man up. They had to play the backup to the backup. And it's at a number of positions, and it's just too much for this team to overcome. And that speaks to what they're going to have to do in the offseason. They're going to have to kind of build this thing back up, and specifically on the offensive line. It's not going to be easy to do, but they've got the resources to do it. They may have the resources in-house. I certainly hope that they try to bolster and get starters, whether it's free agency or the draft. I'd like to see free agency, or I'd like to see starters brought in from outside the organization rather than relying on, well, we've got this guy, Giovanni Manu, we think he can get it done, or Kobe Soresdahl, or whatever the case is. I'd like to see some new blood brought in that's brought in specifically to start. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We'll hear from Jared Goff coming up at 1:30. Final time of the season. We'll talk with Jared Goff. Some feedback coming in. I'm so tired of hearing Dan Campbell and his fix a few things attitude. When is he going to actually fix them? Well, they're going to have to fix things in the offseason. They only have one game left in the year, and they're not making a playoff, so that's when you fix them. I don't think you're going to see too many crazy things on Sunday against the Bears. I'm curious to see what the starting lineup is going to be on the offensive line, who's healthy and who's not. That I'm curious about. I put it on the offense. The defense gave them so many opportunities in those last four games, and the offense couldn't score. Well, I'll go back in the last two games, and I'll agree with you. And part of it is the absolutely, it's the offense. I think that against the Steelers, you could argue the defense really faltered, but you know, the Lions had their chances in that game at the end of the game to win it. And, you know, coming out of that, I was, you know, really unhappy with the decision to not kick a field goal early in the game when they could have on a 4th-and-3. And in the end, you know, you're driving down the field in what could have been a situation where a field goal could have won it. But the offense threw two touchdown passes at the end of that game that were called back because of offensive pass interference. But you look at the game against the Vikings, that was clearly on the offense. There's no question. No one's going to argue that. That is clearly on the offense. If Brian Flores is available, then you go get him, period. Sheila can pay him, and the team gets an instant upgrade. Nothing against Shepard, but the team shouldn't wait for growth and development. Be aggressive in seeking talents at all levels. That's Jeff and Petoskey. I don't have a problem with that statement. That goes along with what I've said a bunch of times. It's a lyric from a Jody Rafool song that says, don't be afraid to give up the good for the great.
But I think that Ticket Text touched on something I totally agree, which is kind of like, yeah, I don't mind drafting and developing guys as far as for down the road.
Yeah.
But you have an obvious window right now to be great right now. And I'm not saying get rid of anything for the future, but I think you have an obligation to this current roster to do whatever you can to get them to the Super Bowl now, whether that means getting the best coordinators available or just the best players available. That's why I go back to, I think people like the Manu pick or even the Tesla pick, like when the Lions make those picks, they're wondering, how does that help this team right now?
Yeah.
Right. And because people, they see what we have and they see how close the Lions are, and they want satisfaction because it's been so long. You do have to feel for the fan base here. They've never seen a true winner. Still haven't legit won anything yet, but come close with the NFC title game. So I go back to that text saying, do something right now. You know, like, and like I said, it doesn't mean trade all your draft picks away or anything like that, but you got to get guys. You don't have time to develop all these guys.
No, and when this texter put in the growth and development, I thought that meant more about Campbell's comments on Shepard. But to your point,
but even they drafted, like I say, the coordinators, yeah, too.
Right.
And they don't have time to teach coordinators. Sorry.
And to your point, you're talking about growth and development of players that they draft. And yeah, it has to be. I get that, you know, maybe it's just one pick each draft that they've done that with, but it stands out because they gave up so much draft capital to get those players. It's not just, oh, we've got the pick at 153 and we're taking Isaac Tesla. No, it's you had the pick at 190 or whatever, and you moved up to get this guy, and you gave up other picks to do so. Now, Tesla, actually, the production wasn't there from a reception standpoint or yard standpoint, but it was there from a touchdown standpoint. He had 6 touchdowns this year.
His catches counted for something.
Yeah, I think he only caught 16 passes on the year, something like that, but 6 touchdowns. So, I mean, that's interesting. And I keep going back to this, but with Manu, don't know, because he got hurt right away.
Yeah, but even then, this guy came from Canada.
I get it.
You know, so, like, it's,
and he spent the whole first season, you know, developing on a practice squad, not even whatever it was, right? It just, you know, on the sidelines, working out and getting to know the game better. And, you know, that you would hear little reports on him like, oh, yeah, he looks good. And then you get to training camp and you're excited to see what he can do after he's been sitting out on the side for a year. What's he going to be like? And within a few weeks, he's hurt and he's done for the year and has no chance to develop this year. And that's the part that sucks. Is they've got, it's not just him. There are several players, and really specific to the offensive line, that all fit that same bill. Guys that you want to take a look at. How are they going to, where are they going to play? How are they going to develop in year 2 or year 3? And they're out. Can't see them. Don't get a chance to look at them. Whether it's a rookie like Mekhi Frazier, you hardly got the chance to see him. He's been activated for the last several weeks, and he's, you know, played sporadically. I'd love to see him play on Sunday. I'm curious if he gets some action. Will it be at guard? Will it be a tackle? Curious about that. You know, but a guy like Corby Sorosdahl that they drafted a couple years ago, he got hurt. Manu got hurt. And it's a lot. It's a lot, which is why I think in the offseason, you got to go out and get a starter on the offensive line in free agency.
Kind of like how they did with Zeitler, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, a guy that can play right away, that you know this. And I mean, I get it. It's a tough job for a GM to have. It's really tough. To try to walk that tightrope about planning for the future and also helping the current squad that you do have. I think Tyreek Williams was kind of that draft pick, to be honest with you, because I think they know DJ Reader ain't coming back next year. That's Tyreek Williams' spot next year moving forward. But, like, the offensive line, I don't think you can do that with the offensive line. You know, they came into the season on paper, all right, we'll just move Glasgow to center. We'll play Mahogany at left guard and a rookie at right guard. And it just didn't work out.
No. You know, you could say that there are ebbs and flows of the season, and there are better games than and for Tate Ratledge, and there are some games that are bad for Tate Ratledge. But it's a rookie season, and I expect him to be better moving forward. Mahogany, it's kind of the same way. Okay, he got a chance to play this year, but then he got hurt again. Although, you know, last year was mono, this year it was a broken leg, but has come back. But I want them to go out and sign a free agent offensive lineman that is unquestionably a starter and unquestionably an upgrade over what they were using this year. And I'm not sure if that's an impossible task to ask when you look at what the offensive line ended up being this year. And I don't mean that to offend the guys that played. Look, you played your asses off. You did what you could. But if there's better out there, get better. You know, I don't expect Graham Glasgow is going to be here next year. He's had a real nice NFL career playing both guard and center at different times for this team. But, you know, trying to live up to what Frank Ragnow was is impossible. But was Graham Glasgow was even an average center this year? I'm not sure. And then he's been hurt. He's missed the last couple games, so that hurts. So what do they have? You know, Equiban, is he somebody who's a good enough player? Tristan Colon, that's the other option? It seems to me that that's an area you can find somebody in free agency that's better than what those two are, or better what their potential is. But that's where I stand. I mean, I think you have to go out and improve the offensive line without question. Is it a total rebuild? I mean, I think you have two for sure players you're building around. It's Ratledge and Sewell. Will Sewell move to left tackle next year? If he does, it's because Taylor Decker has decided to call it a career. And maybe it might be addition by subtraction. Taylor Decker, really good. But Sewell over there, you'd think, is better. And then the right tackle position can be filled. But you got to find somebody who's better than what you had. And it's not an easy task to do, but that's what's in front of Brad Holmes for sure. It's what he's got to do. Chris is next up here on a cell phone at 97.1. Hey, Chris.
Hello. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hey, I believe that to improve this team to the level they want to get to, it's going to be on the defense. And I think one of the major issues they're going to have is, again, the edge rusher to complement Hutchinson. And I think that's going to open up a lot of things for them as far as defense is concerned. You can, with a major pass rush, you can take off a linebacker off the field, put an extra defensive back in there, use Branch as a linebacker / defensive back.
Well, Branch isn't going to be back. Branch won't be available to him for, you know, half the season probably because of the injury he suffered. The other thing I think this kind of goes under the radar. Muhammad had 11 sacks this year. Going into the last game of the season, he's got 11 sacks as the second, you know, pass rusher behind Hutchinson. That's a lot. Now, I'm not saying that you abandon drafting an edge rusher or finding another edge rusher, but I'm saying that they do have a second guy who's been incredibly productive for them.
Yeah.
That I think goes under the radar.
I think, and they do need an offensive line replacement, of course. Yeah. You know, it's obvious, and what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, especially. But I just always go back to that edge rusher that would just make a
yeah. But he had 11 sacks. Be honest, Chris. Did you know he had 11 sacks this year?
Yeah, I know he's pretty good, and maybe he's going to improve and become that guy. You know, I don't know.
11's a lot. 11's a heck of a lot more than I thought he was. I thought he was like 7 or 8 sacks season, and I looked down, it's 11. And he still has a game to go. Again, I'm not abandoning the idea of adding another edge rusher to this team. You can do it in free agency, although it's probably going to be pricey if you do that. I think in the draft, there are a number of edge rushers you can take. I don't know how they feel about Hassanin, the guy they drafted last year, who was another one that has missed all season. Is he a possibility for them? I don't know. But they can definitely find somebody over the roster spot of Davenport for sure. Jared Goff joins us next here, 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So we had talked about Dan Campbell's comments regarding Kelvin Shepard and the defensive coordinator of the Lions and the job he thinks he's done. And I don't know if Shep's going to be the defensive coordinator of this team moving forward. I wouldn't bet against it. I think he probably will be. He's survived the season, and I think it's understandable that things have changed dramatically with the defense because of some injuries there. But at the same time, Aiden Hutchinson has a career high in quarterback sacks. Al-Qaeda Muhammad had 11 sacks going in. It has 11 sacks going into the last game of the season. I think that's kind of startling to see that. The linebacking core has been very solid. Jack Campbell takes another step forward as a player. There are some things to like with the defense, but overall, obviously, the last five games or so, it's not been very good in terms of how many yards they've given up and points they've given up. But again, I think that's a direct correlation to what's happened with the decimation of the secondary. That being said, I also mentioned that, you know, that Mike Valenti had brought up yesterday on his show about the possibility of going after Brian Flores from the Minnesota Vikings. He's their defensive coordinator because he's a free agent after this year. He's not signed to a contract. Interesting, Kevin Seifert of ESPN tweeted this out about an hour ago. It said, Brian Flores is deflecting questions about his pending contract expiration, saying the team and his agent will handle that. Now, this is interesting because this is with a coach, right? So when a player does something like this, Kang, when a player says, hey, I'm out of this, I'm just leaving that up to the team and my agent, they're going to handle that, what do we automatically assume?
That they want more money, right?
Or that he's gone.
Yeah, yeah, like just the highest bidder.
Right. This is the first time in a long time, I guess, the first time I can remember seeing it with a coach that's saying this, that's about to be hit the free agent market. And obviously, I think he would be highly sought after from teams. Teams that may have well-established defensive coordinators might look at that and go, oh, well, I like Brian Flores. We'll make a bid on him. But I guess this is when I see that, I automatically think that this guy is he could be a gun for hire. And do I think the Lions should consider that? Absolutely, I think they should consider that. And I wonder just how serious things will get. I mean, obviously Minnesota is not a playoff team. It's a team to beat the Lions twice. You just heard Jared Goff talking about it, what he does that makes it difficult to game plan against, what he does that just kind of throws wrinkles at you, different schemes at you, different attacks, and very good. I liked him as a head coach when he was with the Dolphins, and obviously that situation did not work out well. There was a big old dispute with he and the higher ups in that organization. I believe a lawsuit was involved. And I thought Brian Flores, wherever he landed, was going to be really good for somebody. And it's been with the Vikings. It's been really good for the Vikings. Their defense is an attacking type defense. Harrison Smith has been just a pain for his entire career. It looked like his career's had a second act, even though it's always been with Minnesota. It looked like he was going to be done and has come back. And the last couple of years, he's been great again. The idea of his availability is very, very intriguing to me. I'd love for the Lions to inquire about that and see if he is a possibility. But of course, this would be a next week conversation. Once the season's done, he's got a game to plan against when he's taking on the Vikings are taking on the Packers. And of course the Lions are at the Chicago Bears, but just interesting nonetheless. When you kind of look at it, I wonder how many other coaches are in the same boat.
Yeah. But here's the thing with Brian Flores. If he's that hot of a commodity,
yeah,
wouldn't he be, he's going to get some head coaching interviews.
Man. I don't know. Some guys are just destined to be
coordinators. No, but he's going to want him. He's not going to. I guarantee he wants to be a head coach again. And I'm not saying he's going to get another job, but I think he's going to be in that cycle where he gets interviewed.
He might, but because how things ended in Miami, I'm not sure. Mike Valenti joins us in the studio.
I know. I heard the sirens call here.
Yeah.
You mentioned Flores.
Yeah, why? I heard you talking about this yesterday. I thought it was really interesting.
Just something.
It's a guy that I've really liked. I liked him back in Miami, and I thought the way things split up there. You know,
yeah, a lawsuit is never good.
No, it's not good. And Kang just brought up that maybe he gets head coaching offers in the offseason. I'm not sure if teams are going to take that leap.
Well, because you're actively. Yeah, here's the thing. It's like legally you can't retaliate against somebody who's suing you. But yet it makes it very difficult to hire a coach who is, in fact, suing the league and several of the teams. Like if the Giants wanted him, how awkward is that? He's suing the Giants.
That's awkward.
That's a tough dinner conversation. And I'm not like, you know, it's funny too. It's like, Scott, I probably said it 50 times yesterday. I'm not married to any of these ideas. Yesterday was like, here are ideas. You do what you want. And it's like, no.
That's the only one that I had heard, by the way.
So no, it's okay. It's just whether it's Flores or not, I want established coordinators to kind of allow Dan to be the CEO again. And look, if they like Shepard, great. You do what you want. Offensively, they need someone.
Well, obviously they have an
I'd like to see a different scheme defensively for me.
I'd like to see guys stay healthy.
Well, that would be nice too. Well, hey, stop signing injured people, Brad.
That's one way to look at it.
It's part of it.
But guys you drafted have gotten hurt now, and that's really devastating.
It is.
What's coming up on the program this afternoon?
We're gonna parse some audio from the morning show's interview. And I thought Dan Campbell's impassioned Jared Goff speech was quite something. So I want to lay out what that looks like, engage what the people want, because we are the voice of the people. You may like Goff, but boy, your ball coach loves him. We're going to talk about it.
This is true. He does love him. And I will tell you, this is also true. People have strong opinions on that.
Just a couple.
Yeah, even though I think it's clear that Jared Goff's not going anywhere for the next 2 years, and certainly based on what the head coach has.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.